We will continue po yung series natin sa Church Essentials, which is nasa topic na po tayo ng mga church leaders. So, ang pag-uusapan po natin ngayon is about sa mga deacons. Okay, so, kung narito po kayo last 2 weeks ago, tinapik po natin ang meaningful membership na pinreach po sa atin ni Pastor Alvin, na kung saan ang mga Kristiyano po are members of one body. And last week naman po, tinapik ni Pastor James ang mga leaders or mga elders po ng church. Okay. So bago po tayo magsimula ulit, let us ask the Lord in prayer. Tayo po manalangin. Heavenly Father, kami po ay lumalapit sa ngalan ng inyong anak na si Jesucristo. Nawa panubayan niyo po kami as we look and read sa passages ngayong umagang ito. Would you help us na listen intently sa preaching? May you help me, Panginoon, na maging clear and maging maayos po, Panginoon, ang aking pag-preach. And I pray, Lord, na magkaroon po ng transformation sa buhay po ng mga makikinig ngayong umaga. O Holy Spirit, may you help us ngayong umagang ito that the gospel will be presented clearly and boldly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So ano po bang okasyon ngayon? Mother's Day. Okay. Ano po ang mga naaalala nyo sa mga nanay po ninyo? Sabi po ni Brother June, pinapalo. Yeah, disciplinarian po ang, yes. Even ang mga nanay natin is, they are disciplinarian na ayaw nating, ayaw nilang mapariwara tayo, di ba? And siguro, kung i-recall ko po ang mga traits ng aking inay is, oh, by the way, Happy Mother's Day po pala. Baka nakalimutan ko at hindi nyo ako papansinin sa labas. So, Happy Mother's Day po sa inyong lahat. Okay, mga nanay. At mga nanay ng mga nanay. Okay. So, ayun po. If I recall yung mga traits ng aking ina, maybe one of them is humility. Ano? Bakit ko po nasabi yun? Every time po na, ano, na may dadalaw na bisita sa amin, hindi niya pinapahubad yung ano, yung kanya mga yung mga sandals or sapatos nila. Ganon din po ba yung nakalakihan yung ano, gawain ng inyong mga nanay? To the point na ano na sinasabi niya, "Eh, napakarumi ng ano ng sahig." Sabi niya, "Huwag mong hubarin yung ano, yung sandals." Makita mo naman yung sahig naman is nakikita mo yung reflection, sobrang linis. 'Di ba? And the way she served yung aming family. Truly, mababanag sa kanya ang tapat na paglilingkod. So ngayong umaga po, we will look at some traits po ng mga leaders na mababasa po natin sa ating passage. So, dalawa po ang passage natin ngayong umaga. So yung binasa po kanina ni Ate Rosel and yung babasahin ko po ngayon sa Acts chapter 6 verse 1 to 7. So bago po kayo pumunta doon, meron po tayong ano, isang point. Ang point po natin, main point po natin is qualified deacons are vital to the church for providing care, promoting unity, and supporting the preaching of God's word. Ulitin ko po, qualified deacons are vital to the church for providing care, promoting unity, and supporting the preaching of the word. So, may dalawa po tayong sub-points. Yung una po is yung roles po ng mga deacons. Makikita po natin yan sa babasahin natin passage sa Acts chapter 6 verse 1 to 7. Dinivide ko po ito into 3 sub-points pa. Yung una po is the deacons provide tangible care. Okay. Next, they promote unity sa loob ng church. And then they support the ministry of the word. Then yung ating last point is yung mga traits or marks ng mga deacons. So basahin po natin ang Acts chapter 6 verse 1 to 7. Now in the days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Spirit, and Philip, Prochornus, and Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. This they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Okay, bago po natin tingnan ang point number one, bigyan ko muna po kayo ng short background nitong passage natin. So, during po ng time ng mga apostles sa Book of Acts, the church was quite young. So, nagsisimula pa lang po ang church noon. But believers were rapidly increasing. So, sa chapter 2 po, sa day ng Pentecost, Peter preached the message of the gospel and 3,000 souls were added to the number of believers. The apostle began their work of ministry. They performed po yung mga pagpapagaling and the preaching of the word of God. And another 5,000 ang nadagdag na naman sa kanilang numbers. Amidst the growing number of believers, there were some challenges na kinakaharap po ang church na ito. Una po, there were authorities that would try to stop yung kanilang gawain. Okay, so they began arresting apostles, gaya po nina Peter and John. And they were brought sa council. And another thing is, meron pong namumuong deception sa loob ng church. Sa chapter 5, mababasa po natin ang story po ni Ananias at Sapphira na paano po nila gawang dinlangin yung mga apostles. And then, more persecutions coming from the Sadducees. Dito po sa chapter 6, mababasa po natin that there was a disturbance sa loob ng church na kung saan ang mga balo po or mga widows are being neglected sa daily distribution po ng pagkain. Okay, so, simulan po natin sa verse 1. Sabi po doon, "Now in these days, the disciples are increasing in number." Dahil po sa kapangyarihan ng Panginoong Diyos sa pamamagitan ng pangangaral ng Ebanghelyo, marami ang nanampalataya kay Hesukristo. There were reports in the previous chapters na patuloy po ang pagdami ng mga members. Na magandang sinyalis po ito ng isang church. And nakakatawa po sa isang pastor that yung kanyang congregation grows not only numerically but also in the wisdom and the word of God. So, mababasa din po natin doon na may mga grupo po ng mga Hellenists that made a complaint against sa mga Hebrews. So kung nag-attend po kayo ng inyong mga Bible study last week, siguro po napag-aralan nyo na ang mga Hellenists po are Greek-speaking Jews. Okay? And yung mga Hebrews naman po are those who are speaking in Aramaic. Sila po ay parehas na Jew and iba lang po yung language na kanilang sinasabi, Greek and Aramaic. Although many Jews in the region of Galilee and Judea likely understood and spoke Greek, this passage does not explicitly state that the Hellenists exclusively speak Greek, or maari po silang dalawa yung mga language. Gaya natin, Tagalog or English. Maybe sa inyo, Hindi or Arabic. Diba? And marami sa mga Greek speakers have culturally distinctive sa mga Aramaic speakers. The writer of Acts does not provide any evidence na meron silang social or theological differences between sa dalawang groups na ito. So mostly, yung language lang po ang pagkakaiba nila. And we see, so nakikita po natin na parang nagkakaroon ng disunity. Ano? Pero makikita po natin din sa Book of Acts sa chapter 2 na before they were unified. No? They devote themselves sa teaching ng apostles and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayers. And sa verse 43, makakita po natin na and all came every soul, and many wonders and signs being performed by the apostles, and all who believe were together and had all things in common. So, nandun po yung unity. But because of this problem, na maaring may threat na mawala yung unity na to. Okay? So, ano po ba yung threat? Or ano yung nagkukos ng disunity? So, sa verse 1 ulit, sabi doon, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So, ito pong concern na ni-raise up ng mga Hellenists, marahil ito po ay nagiging ongoing problem po sa loob ng church. Habang patuloy po ang distribution ng pagkain for the poor believers na mga Aramaic speakers, yung mga ano naman po mga Greek widows napapabayaan. Okay? Widows are yung mga women who wala na pong mga family members na kayang mag-provide para sa kanila. Kaya naman po sila ay nahanay sa mga weak and vulnerable people of the society. In the Old Testament, pinag-uutos po ng Diyos ang pangangasiwa sa mga widows at orphans that reflect yung kindness and goodness ng ating Panginoong Diyos. They are the object of neglect sa ating passage. So the Greek Jewish Christians took their complaint at lumapit na po sa mga apostles para idulog yung kanilang mga reklamo. And then in verse 2, nagkaroon po ng malaking members meeting. Siguro po ang hirap po noon. Ano? So kung ano po natin, imagine natin na 5,000 members or more than 5,000 members are gathered. And iilan lamang ang mga apostles. Okay? So they gathered yung mga members, and the apostles took upon themselves ang responsibility. So inako po nila itong responsibility na to na those widows are being neglected. And they propose ang solution para matugunan po itong problem. So clearly, nasa heart na po ng mga apostles ang pagkikare sa mga neglected widows. At nais po nila na bigyan kaagad ng action itong problem na to. Because caring for people, especially sa mga members ng church, ay isa sa mga results ng gospel na kanilang pinapangaral. The love, care for the brothers and sisters, na to bear each other's burden. So, nakikita po din nila na meron din kailangang i-prioritize. So, hindi lamang po ang pagbibigay ng tulong sa mga widows that are neglected, but meron din po kailangan silang i-prioritize. Tingnan po niyo sa verse 2 again. Sabi po ng mga apostles, it is not right that we give up preaching the word to serve tables. We read na maaring magkaroon ng conflict between their commission to preach the Word of God and the responsibility of food distribution. So parehas po na mahalaga ang commission ng mga apostles to preach God's Word, to be witnesses po ni Jesus Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension, at ang pangangalaga ng mga pangangailangan ng mga believers, especially those who are poor and needy. Kaya naman itong mga apostles, they proposed the solution para agarang matuguran ng concern. And more importantly, they want to devote themselves sa preaching ng salita ng Diyos. And then sa verse 3 and 4, makikita po natin na kung ano yung naging pagtugon o yung naging proposal ng mga apostles. Sabi po sa verse 3, "Therefore, my brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Notice that the apostle did not impose ang kanilang naging solution, but rather they asked the believers to be involved in the process of choosing competent and capable men to do the task of food distribution among the poor believers sa loob ng church. Okay. So they mention at least 3 qualifications po ng kanilang dapat na hanapin sa mga men na ito. Una po, they must be in good repute, that they are well spoken of in the congregation. Meron silang magandang testimony so that their appointment to the task will meet the approval of all believers. Huwag po kayong masyak, okay? I think may ano lang po, may emergency lang po. And para tayong nasa sinehan na. Ah. Nakaka-conscious ako lang yung may ilang. Okay, so good repute. Ayan, thank you po. Good repute. And then, ano po yung pangalawa? Yung pangalawa po is, they must be full of spirit. Ano? Kalaki po sa pagkakaroon po ng magandang reputation is the evidence na ongoing transformation po ng Holy Spirit sa buhay po ng mga taong ito. And also, they should be full of wisdom. There should be evidences of making good judgment when it comes sa pangangasiwa ng food distribution. So, kaya po, ano ang reason po na sinuggest ito ng mga apostles is for them or for the apostles that allow themselves to devote their energies sa ibang mga bagay. So, ano po yung endeavor na to? Verse 4, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Excuse me. Ito pong prayer and ministry of the word is the highest priority po dapat ng mga church leaders. And makikita po natin na ito nga po ang nais na mangyari ng mga apostles. Okay, it is crucial po sa kanilang commission because ito po ay pinag-utos ng Panginoong Hesukristo sa Matthew chapter 8 when he commissions yung kanyang mga disciples to make disciples, no? And to teach all that was commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the whole community of believers in Jerusalem give yung kanilang approval. And mababasa po natin sa verse 5 na they agreed, yung congregation, they agreed sa proposal po ng mga apostles and chose 7 men. So sino po ang mga 7 men? Sina po, sina Stephen, a man full of faith and of spirit, si Philip, si Proconus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte or convert from Antioch. So the Bible does not tell us kung sino or papaano po yung naging selection process na naganap. Marahil ay by selecting from a pool of volunteers, then i-examine po ito ng mga mature believers. This will greatly serve the purpose of appointing them for the ministry of providing care for the poor believers, especially sa those sa mga Greek widows. So it is interesting po na binigyan po ng emphasis ng writer ang pangalan po ni Stephen. Si Stephen po will be martyred after these events. Siya po was empowered by the Holy Spirit sa pangangaral na salita ng Diyos sa chapter 7 and delivered one of the most wonderful exposition of the gospel. Kasama po ni Philip na ginamit din ng Diyos na ihayag ang banal na salita sa isang eunuch upang makilala niya ang Panginoong Jesucristo. And yet, makikita po natin dito that they first serve as people to take care yung mga needs ng mga members. And in verse 6, itong mga seven men were presented na sa mga apostles. Okay? In the Old Testament, makikita po natin that when Moses commissioned si Joshua, he laid yung kanyang hands kay Joshua. And sa New Testament naman po, ang laying of hands is ginagawa ng mga apostles para po sa pagpapagaling ng mga may sakit or to impart yung Holy Spirit and to ordain believers for a particular work. So for instance, itong nangyayari ngayon is they are laying their hands sa mga seven men na ito for them to be commissioned. So lastly, sa verse 7, mababasa po natin that the word of God continued to increase and the number of believers multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So Luke tells us what transpired after the selection and commissioning of the seven men for the food distribution. Nangyari po is the word of God increased. And where the preaching of the apostles empowered by the Holy Spirit continued to change lives within the congregation, but also throughout the Jerusalem church. The number of believers also multiplied greatly. To give us an idea kung gaano na po karami yung mga members na ito, in chapter 2 ng Acts, there were already 3,000 na mga members at the time of Pentecost. So ito po ay mga believers who came from outside Jerusalem to visit and to celebrate ang Pentecost. And after po sa miracles pa in chapter 4, nagkaroon pa po ng mga additional na mga members. So nagkaroon na po tayo ng total na 5,000 members. So pagdating naman po sa chapter 5, the members continue to increase until we reach chapter 6 na meron po tayong approximate na almost siguro mga 10,000 members. So probably 10% po ng mga population po ng mga Jewish believers or Jewish population. So this numerical growth was caused by the power of God through the preaching of the apostles. So there was also great number of priests who became disciples. Ito po mga priests na to are part of the priestly office na noong araw were the opponents po ng ating Panginoong Jesucristo. Some scholars say that these priests were most likely na may mababang position that heard the gospel preached sa loob ng temple. So ngayon, We can observe sa binasa po natin some traits or roles ng mga deacons. So pwede po masasabi po natin na sa New Testament hindi po explicitly na sinabi kung ano ang magiging roles po ng mga deacons. But in this passage, we can determine three roles. Okay. So una po, yung pinaka-obvious, yung provision, or they provide tangible care for the church. Marami pong mga directives ang matatagpuan natin sa Bible na kung saan pinag-uutos po ng Panginoong Diyos ang pangangalaga ng mga nangangailangan. Mababasa po natin sa Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, sabi po doon, "For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land." And in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 to 10, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God." Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry demonstrated this kind of love or care by healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and showing compassion po sa mga downcast and lowly. So caring for people, especially ang mga members ng church, is important because it serves not only yung physical and spiritual need or well-being ng mga members, but it also serves as a good gospel witness sa labas po ng church. Halimbawa po ang mga pagdalaw sa mga kapatiran na may sakit, mga pagtulong sa pag-repair ng mga flats, mga kapatid, pagbibigay ng counsel, paglilingkod sa mga sa pamamagitan po ng even sa pag-provide lang ng mga ano ng service sa mga kapatiran na walang sasakyan. And even sa pagtulong pinansyal and many more. It is an encouragement po sa mga elders na gaya namin na at deacons dito sa Crossroads exemplify itong mga ganitong mga halimbawa. They provide care sa mga members. They understand yung immediate need ng church, and nakakaganda po sa patotoo ng church when deacons flesh out the loving care of Jesus sa mga kapatiran. And second, ang pwede po nating ma-observe mula sa passage po natin sa Acts 6 is that deacons promote church unity. Okay. Aside po sa obvious purpose na pag-select ng 7 men to provide tangible care sa members ng church, meron pong nakita natin na may mas malaki pang pangangailangan, which is the promotion or the promoting of unity sa loob ng church. Sa ating passage kanina, we have read that these men were tasked para sa pangangalaga ng mga poor widows na maging fair and impartial ang food distribution. But we see yung pong physical neglect na ito is causing a spiritual disunity sa loob ng church. It began sa isang complaint of one group against another group of believers. And the apostles wisely proposed to the congregation to select 7 men to prevent this division inside the church from happening. So deacons are our flesh and blood examples for using their God-given gifts for the common good, for the building of one another up and encouragement of one another. Paul tells the Corinthian church that their gifts should be exercised for the common good. Ganun din po si Peter when he encouraged yung mga believers that as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Sa mga ministry of deacons, it is to build up the body by working for unity. Again, it is a joy and encouragement to see that our deacons here at Crossroads continually serve with care for the whole body, ministering to absorb the impacts of conflicts or disunity, if any, within the church. And then pangatlo po, we can observe that deacons should support the ministry of the word. Next, we have another role that deacons must have is to, by supporting yung ministry of the word. So from the passage ng Acts 6, we see that the appointed 7 men work for the support of the ministry of the word. Nabasa po natin kanina na ang mga apostles affirmed the problem regarding the Greek-speaking widows, that it is it was the whole church body's responsibility, and therefore, ito ay kanilang responsibility din. But this responsibility was handed over to a group of men within the church body so that the apostles would focus on their ministry of the word and prayer. These servants served the church as a whole by helping with the responsibility that the elders of the church cannot perform. They provide support and encouragement to the teachers of the word in their ministry. So, our prayer po for our deacons at Crossroads is to continue knowing the church body, coordinate with others, and to advance the ministry to foster her hearts of service and bless the church with their God-given gifts. So the New Testament brings three aspects po of deacon ministry that we have seen in Acts 6. That deacons provide tangible care, promote unity, and support the ministry of the word. Now, if we to nominate po ang isang deacon, ano po kaya yung mga helpful qualities na ating kailangan malaman? So aside po sa mga nabanggit ng sa Acts 6, which are a reflection po ng ating sermon passage ngayon, we will see yung mga marks or qualities po ng isang deacon. So we will jump po sa 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 8 to 13. Sabi po ng deacons, likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to too much wine, not greedy for the dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children well and their own household well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Approximately 30 years after naisulat po ang Book of Acts, the Apostle Paul wrote to a young pastor na si Timothy. Dito mababasa natin that the office of deacons was officially established. He wrote to Timothy to warn him against false teachings and false teachers. He also wrote to encourage him about the hope that they preach, that Christ came to the world to save sinners, and charge him to establish the biblical leaderships sa loob ng Ephesian church. Last week, we heard about the importance of church leaders and the qualifications of elders. And kanina, we noted yung mga roles of deacons. Now, sa ating second point, we're going to look at the qualifications naman of deacons. Una po, sa verse 8, we read ang first set po ng mga qualifications. Sabi po sa verse 8, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, and not addicted to too much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. So a deacon is isang servant or lingkod ng Diyos, a person who gets the job done at the behest of a supervisor or someone who provides assistance. Ang word na deacon, dahil hindi ko po na-explain kanina, so ngayon ko i-explain, Ang word na deacon comes from the group of Greek words diakonos, diakoneo, and diakona that are variously na tinatranslate po. It is translated as administration, care for, isang minister, servant, serve or service, preparations, relief, support, and deacon. So according sa Mark 10:43-45, Jesus requires his followers to function as diakonoi or servant and douloi as slaves in their mutual relationship. Just as Jesus came to serve or diakonia, diakon, ang hirap ng ano, no, Greek, diakonisia or to serve or to act as diakonos or servant. So again, yung ano po is sumunod po is yung the word likewise indicates yung similarities ng mga qualifications na to sa qualifications po ng mga elders. The following verses will see the marks and qualifications po ng person for this role. Sabi po doon, a deacon must be dignified or worthy of respect. Such dignified life can only arise from the internal transformation that accompanies salvation. So those who serve as deacons must maintain a good testimony of faith as their ministry is public. A deacon also must be sincere or hindi po siya double tongue. This praise signifies that they must be honest and straightforward in their communication. Being double tongue can lead to confusion and distrust among church members. So instead unity should be the goal with the church body. By being truthful, deacons can help to foster harmony and prevent misunderstanding. A deacon must not be addicted to much wine. This notion highlights the importance of moderation. So hindi po masama ang pag-inom, but sometimes yung pong ano yung dangers ng ano no yung pag-inom outweighs yung purpose, di ba? So it highlights yung ano yung moderation. Alcohol can lead to impaired judgment and behavior that does not reflect Christ's teachings. As deacons represent the congregation, they should act with clear minds and integrity at all times. Deacons must not be greedy for dishonest gain. As overseers, deacons should not focus on making money, especially by allowing their greed to take over. Money is not evil in itself, but it is an attitude of greed that is off base. So verse 9 po, deacons must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. So deacons are called to hold firmly to the deep truths of the faith. This means they should have a clear understanding of the gospel and a strong foundation in their faith. It is important for them to have a clear conscience, knowing that they are living in alignment with the truth of the gospel. Paul is speaking of the mysteries, Christ's incarnation and salvation of humanity. All who have trust in this mystery have a clear conscience because their sins have been cleansed. So yung cleansing po nito is done by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also mentions that deacons should be tested first. This suggests that these leaders are not to be selected hastily. To be tested first means that they can prove their commitment and ability to fulfill their roles effectively. This testing also emphasizes accountability. It encourages both reflection and growth on their part, allowing them to seek advice from fellow church members, pastors, and prayer partners. And verse 11 naman po, their wives, sabi po doon, their wives likewise. Sa Greek translation po, yung pronoun na there ay hindi po nakalagay. So, May mga debate po that arises whether itong term na ito refers to women who functions as diakono or servants, or to wives of the candidates for this function, or to women filling a function different from a servant role. The use of likewise in verse 11 suggests another category similar belonging to the work of the servant. So, sa makatwid po, pwede po mag-serve ang mga women. Yun lang po. Gaya po ni Phoebe sa Romans 16, ang makikita po natin that he served alongside Paul. And then verse 12, deacon managed their children and household. Similar po sa qualifications po ng overseers, deacons are to be faithful in their marriage and demonstrate the ability to manage their families well. This highlights the importance of leaders within the home as reflections of their ability to serve the church. And lastly, Paul reiterates that those who serve well will gain lasting respect. This serves as encouragement po for anyone who is involved sa leadership. It demonstrates that our effort will bring fruit not only in our walk with Christ, but also in how others perceive and interact with us within the church. This recognition strengthens our resolve to live out our faith intentionally. So through this passage, we see the importance of character over title. How these people live out their faith dictates whether they will genuinely serve God and others or fall into selfish pursuits. So taking Paul's advice to heart and using these passages as guidelines, try to compare your character to these. Would it reflect, yung character po ninyo, would it reflect a transformed life shaped by the gospel? These qualities are not only for leaders, but also para sa atin. Here are some diagnostic questions po para i-check natin ang ating mga puso. Una po, how is your character pagdating sa area ng integrity? Are you a person known for your integrity? Kumusta po ang pag-manage po ng oras ninyo sa inyong mga trabaho? Do you come early or late? Do you excessively spend time para maka-acquire ng overtime? Na kahit na wala kang ginagawa sa loob ng opisina? How is your integrity sa pag-manage ng inyong company resources? Or maybe we can ask ourselves kung naging truthful ba tayo sa ating mga family members. Sabi po sa verse 8, deacons must not be addicted to too much wine. But also, all forms of addictions are wrong. It will always lead sa idolatry. So, what are the things that have consumed your time lately? Ano po ba yung madalas nating pagkaabalahan during our downtime? Saan po ba natin inuubos ang ating mga oras? What forms of entertainment ang umuubos ng time po ninyo? Again, when was the last time you devoted time to studying Scripture? Sa mga husbands po, how well have you treated your family lately? Diba yung isang qualifications kanina, that husband should manage their children and their family, their household? So how have you treated ang inyong mga wives lately? Do you treat them with love and respect? Brothers and sisters, the qualities that have been mentioned here should help us see the defining characteristics of our calling. That is, to be the follower of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should serve one another with these qualities as we are commanded to do so by our Lord Jesus. Friends, apart from Christ, we are serving three masters. Sino po sila? It is me, I, and myself. At dahil sa makasariling pamumuhay natin at hindi natin pagsunod sa kalooban ng Diyos, because of our pride, tayo po ay nananatiling nasa ilalim ng galit at paghuhukom ng Diyos. But God, in His mercy and grace, sent His servant Jesus to live in full obedience to do the will of God and gave His life as a ransom for many. Sabi po sa binasa natin kanina ni Pastor Jovan sa Mark 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Christ willingly served us by giving His life as a ransom. He gave His life to die for the sinners like you and me. He gave His life for us to have life in Him. Friends, Christ did not remain dead, but on the third day He rose from the grave, defeating sin, death, and Satan, freeing us from the bondage of sin, that we might live to serve Jesus in His kingdom. And if, mga kaibigan, kung wala pa po kayo sa Panginoong Jesucristo, I urge you to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Para po sa ating conclusion, as we seek to live out these Christ-like qualities, we can help build a strong and loving community dito sa Crossroads that display Christ's love, integrity, and hope in the watching world. So let us continue to embody these teachings in our lives and strive to become better servants in our church and families. Tayo po'y manalangin. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace to us that You have sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf. Help us, Father, na mai sa pamuhay po namin ang aming na i-preach ngayon, na napakinggan ngayon, Panginoon, that we would live a Christ-like lives and serve one another with humility. Ito po ang dalangin namin in Christ's name. Amen.